What is up and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always by my co-host, David Drogemeyer. We are two writers who got our start at San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog. We've been covering the Chargers now for four seasons, doing our own Facebook Live show, Chargers Domination Live, which airs weekly. And this is our second season going on our third season with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys, well, there's not a ton of news to get into on today's show, but we do have an article from Eric Williams who thinks he's found a solution for the Chargers to potentially try and keep up with the Kansas City Chiefs. So we're going to start with that on today's show, and then the second and third segments we're going to be dedicating to another position group profile, and today we're talking about the linebackers, so a very maligned group of linebackers that we get to talk about. So we're going to talk about their performances in 2019 before getting into what the Chargers should do with these guys in the last segment of the show, talk about guys that could potentially bring back if they need to bring in more at the position and what they can do to improve it if our confidence level in that group isn't very high. So David, let's go ahead and get into it. With the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl looking like one of the better teams that we have seen in a long time, ESPN's Eric Williams has a way the Chargers could potentially try and keep up. This is Daniel Wade joined by David Drogemeyer with your Locked On Chargers lead story. Eric Williams, ESPN's Chargers reporter, came out with an article on Wednesday wondering if Justin Herbert, the Oregon quarterback, could be the piece that could potentially help the Chargers keep up with the Kansas City Chiefs. In the article, Williams talks about the fact that with Patrick Mahomes, especially on his rookie contract, the Chiefs are able to do a lot and that the Chargers need to find a quarterback that brings some of those same skills. So we have seen, especially in the most recent games that Justin Herbert's played in, that he's been very athletic. He's been running the football a lot more, and people still have questions about what he can do with his arm and the reads that he can make. Me personally, I'm not totally sold on Herbert as the Chargers' sixth overall pick, but there are a lot of reasons why it would make sense. He doesn't turn the ball over a lot. He's very efficient as a quarterback, or at least he was at Oregon. He brings some of the athleticism that head coach Anthony Lynn has always talked about wanting. For some of those reasons, David, I could see why Eric Williams would think maybe Justin Herbert could bring some of those things that Patrick Mahomes brings to the Chiefs.
Justin Herbert has some absolutely incredible traits to him. I mean, he's got the prototypical size, 6'6", 235, has the big rocket arm, and all the profiles that I've read on him said that he's accurate. He has the ability to make any throw on the football field. He can throw on the run, but sometimes he allows some pressure to affect him. Sometimes he has problems getting off of his first read and going through his full progressions, but he is an incredible athlete, has the running ability that Anthony Lynn has said on multiple occasions that he covets, and it'll be interesting to see what his ability is on the big stage in the NFL, but the tools are there, the mind processing is there, 4.4, grade point average all throughout college, so he is a very smart player. And one thing that he's incredibly good at throughout his college career is his success in the red zone. This past season, he didn't throw a single interception while in the red zone. And obviously, with the Chargers having a lot of problems in the red zone this past season, that's probably something that the Chargers brass is going to want to address. And having a quarterback that the Chargers could potentially take at six that already has things figured out in the red zone is something that shows glowingly on Justin Herbert going into the draft.
Well, teams love quarterbacks who take care of the football, and the Chargers, especially after the season that Phillip Rivers had, would probably want some of that on their team, and that is one thing that he did pretty well was take care of the football. He had a couple of bad games, but for the most part, he's not a turnover-prone quarterback, and we'll see what it looks like after he gets out of that Oregon offense that really gives some big throwing windows to throw into, and he's going to have to make some really tough throws, and the ball placement is going to have to be there in the NFL. There's a lot less wiggle room when you're throwing those balls into those tight windows. So he does have all the tools. He has the athleticism that you want. But some of the questions have been about leadership. Some of the questions have been about can he make those reads. But as far as just him as a prospect, he has everything that it would take to be a good quarterback. Sometimes you just don't know if that is going to translate into the NFL level, like we've seen with so many highly regarded prospects in the past. But the one thing, David, that having a rookie quarterback lets you do is have some cap flexibility. And in the NFL, in a salary capped league, that is so important. And we've seen so many teams like Russell Wilson with the Seahawks. Now you have Patrick Mahomes. with the Chiefs and other rookie quarterbacks and other quarterbacks who are on their rookie deals be able to make good competitive rosters and make deep playoff runs and make runs to the Super Bowl because they have so much more money to put elsewhere. I mean, that's when we saw the Seahawks fall apart, is when they had to finally pay all of these guys, including Russell Wilson. But David, going up against a team like the Chiefs that is pretty loaded, especially offensively with the weapons they have there, there is something to the strategy of having a rookie quarterback, having a player that's not going to make $30 to $40 million a season, and being able to allocate the rest of those resources into building a complete roster.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Patrick Mahomes' do not grow on trees, or every single team would have one of those. I mean, obviously the Kansas City Chiefs struck gold when they traded up for Patrick Mahomes and just got to see what he evolved into. I mean, the type of quarterback that he is now and the incredible ability that he has showcased throughout his couple of years in the league. But that's definitely the blueprint, Daniel. It's the, hey, let's draft a rookie quarterback, hope that he has all the skills and all the ability necessary to win football games with a good supporting cast, and also allow you to supply that supporting cast because you have cap space flexibility. You can go out and add the offensive weapons. You can go get the offensive lineman needed to protect a rookie quarterback to make him feel comfortable, and then you can put yourself in a prime position to have a couple of years of contention to add a couple of pieces on defense to really put themselves in a good position. I think we can all agree that the Chargers have a great talent base. They just need to get a couple of more pieces to add to that, and they can definitely contend.
Absolutely. It's a very tough task trying to keep up with a team that is led by probably the best quarterback in the entire NFL. And to do that, you have to be able to keep up with them defensively and offensively. And one thing that helps you do that is if you don't have a ton of money tied up in your quarterback. So I'm not sold that Justin Herbert is the difference maker in that he brings the Chargers up to the Chiefs level, but getting a guy in a rookie contract, trying to build the rest of your team out with a quarterback with a smaller salary would be a good start to trying to build a competitive roster to keep up with one of the best teams in the NFL and one of the teams in the NFL that doesn't seem like it's going to slow down anytime soon. But we do have two more segments to get into. We have to get into our 2019 linebacker profile of this position group and talk about what the Chargers need to do with it and how they performed this last season, coming up right after this. But first, I need to tell you guys, if you enjoy football and have a heartbeat, then you know what's coming. It's that time of the year. Plan a party, get the snacks ready, and get your wagers locked in because the Super Bowl is finally here. You've got a feeling about who's going to bring home the Lombardi Trophy, and you do not want to miss out on your last chance to get your bets in before the NFL season ends. Whether you're choosing the straight-up winner of the game or making a side bet with a friend, MyBookie offers you the most up-to-date odds and a site that makes winning cash easy and fast. MyBookie features the most complete lineup of Super Bowl props of any sportsbook in the business. And when you're talking about the Super Bowl, you're talking about prop bets. What color is that Gatorade going to be? How long is the national anthem going to be? Is it going to be heads or tails on the coin toss? They have all of those options for you guys. And plus, if you deposit right now, they will match your deposit halfway. That's basically free cash to throw down on your best bet. This will be the last chance to take advantage of this sign-up offer right now. Just enter the promo code LOCKEDON when you make your deposit. That's promo code LOCKEDON, all caps, one word, to give your bankroll a jump start. MyBookie, play, win, and get paid. I also need to tell you guys about our favorite car dealership, and of course I'm talking about Metro Infinity, which you can find right off the 210 in Monrovia. You have to check out their brand new multi-million dollar facility and see the amazing selection of new and used cars. They're the only dealer in California. They are the only dealer in California that is family owned, and they've been in business for over 25 years. They are the number one volume dealer in California, and one of my favorite parts is if you don't want to go into the dealership, it's no problem at all. They will bring the new car and the paperwork to your home or office and complete the whole transaction there. They take pride in not being your typical car dealer where it takes hours to buy a car. They don't play games, and they want their customers to have a luxury car buying experience. Trust me, these guys get it. Metro Affinity also wants to save you some money because if you go in there and tell them that Locked On Chargers sent you over there, you can get an extra $500 off any car purchase. If you are thinking about an Infinity or in the market for any new car, make sure to call 626-599-7510 or go to metroinfinity.com and you guys can be leasing a brand new Infiniti Q50 3.0 luxury loaded with navigation for only $1,000 down at $325 a month plus tax. That's $1,000 down and you can get an extra $500 off if you tell them that Locked On Chargers sent you over there. All right, David, well, it's time to get into our 2019 linebacker profile, talking about what the Chargers did in 2019 as a linebacker group. And this was a group that we felt somewhat excited about going into the season. You know, we thought, hey, maybe if Denzel Perryman can stay healthy, maybe if Thomas Davis can come in here and be productive and be a veteran leader in this group, that the Chargers could be better than they were in 2018 in 2019. And overall, I would say it was better, but it definitely left a lot to be desired, David. This was a group that we had a lot of questions going into the season about, and some of the questions they answered, but many more went unanswered.
No question about it. I mean, we thought going into this season that, you know, they had some good talent that they acquired in the offseason, at least some proven talent. I mean, Thomas Davis has been a good linebacker in the NFL for a long, long time. I mean, he was the only defender from the 2004 draft class that was still playing football right now. So, I mean, you got to give him that. And then you figured Denzel Perryman was going to bounce back. I mean, there were some good things out there about Emeka Egbule and Drew Tranquil coming in from the draft. And, you know, you felt like this was a better unit, you know, this year than it was last year. And it did turn out to be that way, but not by much, Daniel.
No, not by much at all. And I think Thomas Davis, even though he had 112 tackles, we can start with him as far as his 2019 performance. I've seen some people saying, you know, he's the first person to have 112 tackles since Donnie Edwards in 2005. I believe it was Stephen Hagelin who put that on Twitter. And I just don't think that just tackle numbers alone make you a good linebacker. And I think that Thomas Davis in some situations could still be productive for this team. But I thought he was late to get to the point of attack a lot of times. I thought he really struggled in coverage, especially trying to go sideline to sideline and match up with tight ends and slot receivers. That's not his game. And for the Chargers, they need to get younger and more athletic, and I think they have to rely less on the veteran leadership, which led Thomas Davis, you know, to a 61.7 Pro Football Focus ranking, which I think ranked 39th in the NFL. So it's not terrible, but it's not great either. So I think some people need to slow down a little bit with just the amount of tackles that he had, because out of those tackles, only 65 of them were solo tackles. So David, I think sometimes people get too caught up in tackle numbers.
Well, yeah, I think you need to have some context on how those tackles were accumulated. I mean, if you look at the tape on Thomas Davis, a lot of the time, and I mean a lot of the time, he's running and trying to chase people down from behind and getting tackles that way. I mean, would you rather rack up a bunch of tackles, or would you rather, you know, get tackles for loss and then square up and hit somebody? I mean, I've only seen Thomas Davis do that a handful of times last year. And I mean, and that's really what the story was. I mean, most of it was him chasing ball carriers down, also trying to run at receivers and not turning his head around looking for the football. I mean, Thomas Davis is a good run-down linebacker, but I think he was overused, and that kind of allowed other teams to exploit his weaknesses when he was on the football field when he shouldn't have been.
And I think he just didn't make enough impact plays, David. It didn't seem like a lot of times you were saying, oh, wow, that was a great play made by Thomas Davis. There were a few, and he's getting up there in age, so it's asking a lot. But another guy that I think was the surprise of the year was Drew Tranquil, and we'll balance this out with a positive, who made some rookie mistakes for sure. He missed some tackles early on in the season. He wasn't always in the right place. But one thing I really loved about Drew Tranquil, David, is coming out of college, one of the biggest knocks I had on him is just how is he going to respond when he's in the trenches trying to make tackles. But what we saw this year was a guy who was really aggressive at getting downhill, was always around the ball, and I mean, ended up with only four less solo tackles than Thomas Davis and many fewer snaps. So I think one thing that came out of this year for the linebackers was the rise of Drew Tranquil.
Yeah, no, you love the way that Drew Tranquil was able to use his quickness and use his tools to the best of his ability to kind of get around offensive linemen to make those good, clean tackles. And also, you know, everything he did in pass coverage, too. I mean, he's a former safety. He did cover very well, and I'd really love to see that. The only thing I would like to see more is just him on the football field more. I mean, it took him until, like, the middle of the year before he started getting significant snaps. And hopefully, you know, given his performance this past year, that he's earned himself a lot more playing time going into next season, because obviously he was one of the more productive linebackers in the group.
Exactly. And even though he didn't put up crazy numbers, I mean, he kind of did for the amount of time that he played. So I think we're only going to see more of him. And admitting that there was definitely some down moments for him, he still ended up being the 25th best Pro Football Focus ranked linebacker in the NFL. And he was tied with Kazir White, which is another guy, David, who I think was criminally underused this season. He got taken out a lot in the game just because he really lost a lot of the snaps we thought he would get going into this season, especially playing that weak side linebacker position that Thomas Davis ended up filling for them for 807 defensive snaps, which is way too many this season. So he's a guy going forward I'm still high on, Kazir White. I just think he's another guy that really needs to get some more playing time.
Absolutely. I mean, get the damn guy off the bench. I mean, he's one of your more athletic linebackers, another former safety who is rangy, has good tackling ability, one of the more sure tacklers regardless of position on the team. He just didn't see the football field enough. I mean, looking at his stats, it's absolutely incredible how many and how few snaps he actually played last year. I mean, the makeup of this guy and the ability, it shows that he should be on the field more, especially in passing downs where he is a great defender.
Yeah, he did really good at the end of the line of scrimmage. He was pretty good in coverage. He ended up being their best Pro Football Focus rated linebacker in coverage and obviously limited snaps. But hopefully, I think he should be able to be one of the guys who gets more snaps next season, because I think we saw some of his growth stunted by the fact that Thomas Davis got so many snaps this year. And I think he's a guy that I'm still high on, but obviously the Chargers aren't a complete unit at this point. And one of the guys they brought back at this last offseason was Denzel Perryman. And there was a lot of discussion, do you bring him back because of the injury history and everything else? Well, David, he was actually pretty good this year as far as staying healthy goes. He did get sent home for a game because of disciplinary issues, but for the most part, he was on the field, yet we still didn't really see him take that next step. You know, maybe it was just recovering from all the prior injuries and all of those things, but what we found out is he still wasn't great in coverage, and he actually really wasn't that great against the run as well, and that was something he always hung his hat on.
Yeah, you're supposed to be the thumper. You're supposed to be the guy that's going to come and lay the wood, and we didn't really see that a lot last year. Given his contract and given the quality of play that he gave us last year, I think he's a prime cut candidate for the Chargers going into the next season.
He could be. I mean, the Chargers would definitely have to eat some dead money if they were to do it, but I think for him, it's like the Denzel Perryman experiment might be over at this point. I think the time of having those linebackers that only come in and play two downs are kind of limited in the league at this point with how many teams are running play actions and passing the ball on first down and all of those things. He was a liability in coverage. He does get an interception this year, but we're not mistaking him for a guy who's good and fluid out there when he's trying to cover people. So the rest of the linebacking unit didn't get a lot of snaps this year. I mean, Nick DeZubner was a guy who is another cut candidate going into this year, as he was last season, because he wasn't even the best special teams player this year. That goes to Derek Watt, followed by Drew Tranquil, who we previously mentioned. He ended up playing two snaps defensively this year, so that's not going to really get you excited.
Two snaps too much.
Probably. I mean, we've always known he's not a linebacker. He's a special teams player who has never really been anything more than that. And that's fine. That has a place in the league, but he didn't really show it this season. And then the other two guys, Emeka Egbule, who was a rookie this year, didn't get a ton of snaps either. He's someone who's still relatively unknown. He did some okay things on special teams, but he is really a big question mark and not somebody we can rely on going forward. And then there's the last guy, and that's Jatavis Brown, who was already in the doghouse going into this season, David. And it's hard to think that the Chargers are going to potentially bring him back with another really, really poor season. And it's really crazy to see how far we've come with Jatavis Brown, you know, as being one of the better fifth round picks of his draft class, to now a guy who, with the scheme change that happened a couple years ago with Gus Bradley, has never really been able to rekindle that spark that he had his rookie season.
Yeah, I mean, he disappeared. I mean, when the scheme changed, Jatavis Brown's production disappeared. I mean, he's just been a body out there, a guy that's been burned. When he did get into the football game, he got burned. And so that's never a good look. I mean, you go in, you got one or two jobs, and you miss tackles, and you let guys go by you. Sorry, Jatavis Brown, your tenure with the Chargers has ended.
More than likely, but hey, it's the Chargers, so we can't rule anything out completely. But I'm glad you brought that up, because missed tackles was obviously the biggest weakness of this linebacking team. I mean, Thomas Davis had a good number of missed tackles. Denzel Perryman got shook out of his shoes a few times. But this group as a whole, I mean, just the play with Damian Williams, the 85-yard touchdown, where Denzel Perryman just gives up on the play because he thinks someone else is going to make the tackle. That's the kind of thing you can't have from a linebacker. I mean, say what you want about Thomas Davis, but all those assists on those tackles means he's around the ball and he's trying to finish these plays. So going forward, you want to have some linebackers that can really tackle well, and you also want some linebackers who are not just liabilities in coverage and have to get off of the field when the other team goes into a passing down. But we do have one more segment to get into, talking about what we're going to do with this linebacking group going forward, coming up right after this. All right, David, well, it's time to get into the final segment of the show, talking about this linebacking group for the Chargers and where the Chargers go from here right now. So with this group that the Chargers currently have going into 2020, Denzel Perryman is under contract one more year. Thomas Davis is as well. You still have Drew Tranquil and Emeka Egbule, Kazir White, all under contract. So, David, with those guys that I mentioned, what is your confidence level in that group specifically if the Chargers were to make no changes going into 2020?
I mean, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing and expecting different results. I'm sorry, but that's... I'm not insane. I hope the Chargers are not insane. I know you're not insane, Daniel. Mm-hmm. So obviously there's going to be some changes that need to be made. And I think that starts with, like you mentioned earlier, getting younger, getting faster, and getting more athletic.
One, I think the poor, unfortunate part of this, David, is the fact that, you know, maybe we would be more confident in it if we got to see Drew Tranquil a little bit more, if we got to see Kazir White a little bit more, if we got to see Emeka Egbule a little bit more. But unfortunately, that just wasn't the case. And we're not including Uchenna Nwosu into this conversation. We'll have him in the edge defender profile group. But these guys didn't get a lot of snaps. I mean, some of them are losing snaps to Adrian Phillips, who had another fantastic year this year, coming in and playing that dime linebacker role. But in a perfect world, you can have guys that can be impact players and not really have to leave the field. And I know three down linebackers are pretty hard to come by. There's only a handful of them in the entire NFL, but you can't have guys who just have such obvious weaknesses. And that means, David, if the Chargers want to improve this position going forward, they're going to have to potentially bring in a free agent or draft somebody. And from what I've seen in the free agent class, there's not a ton going into the draft. There are definitely some players who have some potential, but not any players that you really feel right now that can just come in and be impact players right away with where the Chargers might take them. I mean, unless you get a guy like Isaiah Simmons, who's not even technically a linebacker, he's more of a safety slash linebacker slash everything else. Yes, of course, that would help the group, but there's not a lot of guys like that available. And you can't get Justin Herbert and Tristan Wirfs and Jedrick Wills all at the sixth pick. I mean, you have to make concessions, so you're looking behind that to find these guys. But some of the guys that were big names in free agency going into this offseason are Corey Littleton, a linebacker from the Rams. You have Blake Martinez, who just had a huge amount of tackles last season. And you have Joe Skobert from the Browns, all becoming unrestricted free agents this offseason. And the one guy that stood out to me as a guy that you'd love to see on the Chargers was Corey Littleton, who's a San Diego native. So playing in Los Angeles, I've read stories about him, you know, playing here and what that means to him. Well, he wouldn't have to go very far if you were to go to the Chargers. So we saw some big contracts given out last season to some linebackers. But if I had to pick one of those guys, David, it would definitely have to be him, because he's the only one of those guys I could see being on the field the most.
Yeah, I mean, you want a guy that can stay on the field, number one, but also a guy that's got some range and got some speed and athletic ability where you don't feel like he's going to be a liability in coverage. I mean, this is Corey Littleton's coming off of a four-interception season as a linebacker. So, I mean, you know, if you look at his tape, I mean, he can cover a lot of ground. He can also has a knack for punching the football out, which you got to love. He gets his hands in the air. He's batted some balls down. He's everywhere. I mean, that's the type of linebacker that you want on your football team, and the Chargers don't have that right now. So you need more range, you need more speed, more athleticism. And, oh, by the way, Corey Littleton's 26 years old. So now the contracts, like you mentioned, Daniel, they're not cheap. I mean, and most of them are multi-year deals, 4 or 5 year deals for, you know, even middling linebackers. I mean, you look at deals for Bobby Wagner, the best linebacker in the NFL, in my opinion, 3 years, $57 million. You look at Deion Jones from the Falcons. He has a similar contract, 4 years. So if you want Corey Littleton, you're going to have to pay a premium to get him. But I think he's the guy right now, looking at his PFF grade and looking at his production, he's the guy that you should sign and lock up for the foreseeable future.
And I think the Rams are obviously going to have a leg up as far as contract negotiations go. And, you know, maybe they get him signed before the season starts. But that's a team that's in a kind of special place of cap hell right now. So if there is a team that you could potentially take somebody away from, it might be hard for them to do it. But at the same time, it's all about value. Are you going to be able to get him for a good value? I mean, we saw Jordan Hicks last year go to the Cardinals for a pretty nice deal, and he ends up getting $17 million guaranteed, a total contract of 4 years, $34 million. So that's pretty substantial money to spend on a linebacker. But if you're getting a three-down linebacker and a guy who can make plays, I mean, you're seeing some impact linebackers in the Super Bowl. Fred Warner is a guy I absolutely love that plays for the 49ers. I mean, there are guys that make plays, and I think with the Chargers linebackers, you just don't see them making plays very often, or at least big impact plays. I mean, Drew Tranquil probably had the most out of the linebackers, and we already talked about him, you know, playing less than half of the defensive snaps this season. So you need more talent at the position. And David, I mean, at some point the Chargers are going to have to make some concessions, and yes, you might need to bring an offensive lineman and spend your money there, but at some point they're going to have to spend some money. So if they are going to spend some money, at least bring in somebody who's going to make some plays and actually bring some, you know, kind of swagger and energy and confidence to this defense.
Yeah, I mean, and thankfully the Chargers have money to be able to make moves this offseason. I mean, they've been in that special place of cap hell for the last several years, like the Rams are right now. But the Chargers have freed themselves from that. Right now, they're in a prime position to go out there and sign guys for the first time in many years. So hopefully, you know, as opposed to, you know, the seasons I mentioned, the Chargers are going to be busy this offseason. They have the money to spend. And, you know, contrary to popular belief, they are not cheap. Okay. I mean, they spend to the salary cap pretty much every year. Now they have substantial money to showcase what they can do. Hopefully they spend it wisely and they go in and bring in impact guys that can help the team right now and in the future.
Yeah, 100%. I think for the Chargers, they're going to have to make some big decisions as far as where they want to put the money, who they want to take in the draft and in free agency. But one thing that doesn't make a lot of sense about how this specific unit is constructed is Gus Bradley's defense. I mean, if you're going to play a lot of zone defense and you're going to have guys have to sit off of the ball and try to limit big plays, you want guys that can put their foot in the dirt, get up and make a tackle on the spot, which is not something they're getting out of these linebackers now. I mean, if you look back to when Gus Bradley was most prevalent in the Legion of Boom, his linebackers, like you were talking about earlier, David, his linebackers were Bobby Wagner and KJ Wright. I mean, the Chargers don't really have anyone that fits into that mold, and that's when we saw them be so successful. And I think linebacker is one of the more underrated positions on the football field. You hear people say it's the quarterback of the defense, and they're calling plays and getting people lined up in the right position, which when you have a guy like Thomas Davis makes things a little bit easier. But you need less Thomas Davis and more of a guy like Corey Littleton, who can go out there, make impact plays, be out there for all three downs and not be a total liability in coverage, even though, you know, just like any linebacker, all of these guys get beat every once in a while. But you'd feel a lot better about it if you had some more athletic guys and some guys closer to what Gus Bradley wants for this defense. And I just don't think when you hear Bobby Wagner and KJ Wright, if Thomas Davis and Denzel Perryman are going to be enough to get that done. So if they're continuing to play the way they're doing it, if they're going to continue to sit back and try to let plays develop in front of them and react to them and go make plays on it, you can't really do that with slower guys who are big liabilities in coverage. You need better players than that. So, David, I think in conclusion with this linebacker group, I think that this was a team that was better at the position in 2019 than they were in 2018. But if our conversations have led to anything, this group needs an infusion of talent. This group needs the coaching staff to recognize the players that are playing better than some of the other players and it's a group that needs to be much improved in 2020 if this defense really wants to take another step at becoming one of the better defenses in the NFL.
Well, and I like what you said about using the players in the right positions. Like, they have to be utilized to their skill sets. I mean, Kaiser White should be in passing downs. He's a great defender against the pass. If Denzel Perriman's on the team, obviously he needs to be on the field when it's an obvious rundown. You need to limit Thomas Davis's snaps so where he's not on the field nearly as much as he was this past season. 800 snaps for a 36-year-old linebacker is absolutely insane and should never happen again. And also, Drew Tranquil's should be the starting linebacker. His snaps need to go way up. Thomas Davis's need to go way down. You make some of those changes and you add a little bit of talent to that. Put your players in the best positions to use their skill sets.
And find players in the draft and free agency that fit what you want to do. Because, yes, you always want to try to put players in your system where they make the most sense. But you also want guys who can fit your system. And if you have really good coaches, they can kind of evolve and find ways to use their best players in the best situations. But we haven't necessarily seen that from Gus Bradley in his tenure. So maybe a big year from a guy like Drew Tranquil makes us feel better about it. But there are just too many guys in this group that you feel are expendable. I mean, how many guys would you really think the Chargers would be much worse at the position with if they were to get rid of them? I don't feel that way about Thomas Davis. At least, I mean, from an on-the-field standpoint, I don't feel that way about Denzel Perriman or Jatavis Brown or Nick DeZubner or Emeka Egbule. Those are a bunch of expendable guys at that position, and not a lot of talent amongst them, at least as far as their performances last season. Drew Tranquil is really the only guy I'm super bullish on going forward. But that is going to wrap things up for today's show. We'll be back with you guys tomorrow with John Kegley to get into some voicemails, talk about the Super Bowl coming up this weekend, and much more. But until then, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing to us wherever you get your podcast from. You can find the Locked On Chargers podcast as well. We have 3 voicemails coming to you guys tomorrow, but if you guys want to get your voices on the show, make sure to call 323-524-7924 because every Chargers voicemail gets played on the show. But we'll be back with you guys tomorrow. Thanks again for listening. Until then, take it easy and go Bolts.